Welcome to 105 The Pickets Video Game Podcast. I'm Tom Schreier. With me today is Henry Bell, an engineer and head of IT at the head of the IT department at our station. I think you were on the last podcast, right?
Yeah.
And we didn't really introduce you. So people are just kind of wondering who Henry is. And the funny thing is, and I think you've listened to the other podcasts, we keep on bringing it up. We're searching for you. I know you're busy here at the IT department. I know you also skedaddle once you're off the clock, but we wanted to have you on. I know Max is in Japan. It kind of worked out perfectly. Ben's actually off doing some other things. And it's nice that we have a kind of a bigger staff. I know it says on there right now it's just Max and I, but we wanted to expand it, and we want to make sure we have one every week. So we're happy to have you on.
Well, thanks a lot for having me. I'm really excited to talk some more.
Yeah, so I think the best way to jump into this is just talk about kind of, first of all, you're a PC gamer, and I think it's good that we have someone on just because I think everyone else is Xbox. I think Ben crosses over a little bit. He was a PS2 guy and then I think had a 360 and an Xbox One. Max and I both have the 360 and the Xbox One.
Sure.
You're a PC guy, though, so I guess I brought up like last gen, next gen. How do you define a generation? Does it change it with a PC?
Well, honestly, the last console generation I participated in would have been like the PS2 generation. And I really just think of PC as not having generations. It's just the games. Because frankly, there's not even the closest you could come to a PC generation would be operating system upgrades. And I have friends who are still running XP. So
really?
Yeah. And, wow. And they've only just probably maybe a year ago was when they stopped supporting XP in modern games. So, I mean, you could really stick with some of these operating systems for two decades.
Why do you make the crossover? You know, why not have a PlayStation or Xbox or Nintendo?
Well, you know, it's really it's an issue of cost and also fun. Because here's the thing. The PC, people balk at it because the initial investment is a lot higher than most consoles. And I get that. However, what you have with the PC is something that's moddable. It's something you can upgrade over time. Yeah. I'm spending people say to me, you know, oh, I spent $400 on my Xbox and it lasted me 11 years. Yeah, but it ran the same all 11 of those years.
True. I mean, that'd be me. Yeah.
Exactly. Which, that's great. Well, that's presuming you didn't get a Red Ring of Death at any point or anything.
No. So I guess I got mine in 2008, and that was I think they had fixed that by then, or else I just didn't get one.
Yeah,
so,
exactly. Yeah. But point being, you know, if a part fails on my computer, I don't have to ship it back to Microsoft.
I just fix it.
Or I'll go to the store and buy an upgrade for often the same price as I paid for the part that I'm replacing, because it's been a year. And unlike with consoles, the prices of the equipment and accessories decreases over time.
Yeah. Is it large? I remember in college, some people had those and have a giant fan and, you know, it'd be this big green box. There's a pretty reasonable size.
I mean, it's really, the form factor is really up to you. Unless you're trying to run like six graphics cards in parallel, you really don't have to worry about the size. The form factor is really about personal taste. I had a friend in high school who had a 3-foot by 3-foot cube, which was pretty great until the water cooling system or liquid cooling system rather failed and soldered his motherboard to itself. But that was a fun LAN party. Yeah, but that said, you know, no, my current one is just a standard desktop tower. I've got two graphics cards running in parallel. They're, for those interested, they're NVIDIA 550 Ti's, so a little bit out of date, but running them in SLI mode really kicks it forward. I can play any modern game.
Is it never going back, I assume, right? You're like PC.
Well, here's the thing. I mean, never going back is an interesting way to put it, just because I don't think that the consoles, and I think that this comes from kind of the fanboyism of a lot of console gamers, is no offense, but
go ahead.
It doesn't have to be one or the other.
Yeah.
There's no reason to have that delineation outside of cost, which they're not that expensive, really, and they're going to be cheaper as time goes on.
Yeah.
I mean, $400 is actually remarkably cheap for the hardware that's inside those systems. And so, I don't know. I feel like I can understand why so many people are favoring Xbox after Xbox dominated the last generation. Personally,
sure.
I favor the PS4 this generation.
And that's where I think it's going a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's got a better lineup of exclusives with things like
sure.
Bloodborne, The Last of Us Remastered, stuff like that. And whereas the Xbox has, I don't even know.
Yeah, it's Sunset Overdrive.
Yeah, and I guess the Halo Master Chief Collection, if that's even working.
I didn't invest in that. I was not that thrilled with that.
Well, lucky you. I mean, that was the one that I think just now it's starting to run properly.
Like, yeah, it's about time.
There was no multiplayer play for months.
Yeah, which is key to Halo. I mean,
it's shocking because I'm sorry, Bungie is owned by Microsoft.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, they know how to do online gaming. It's not like, ugh, God.
No, the so, I mean, the other thing too, Max and I have had this conversation. We think that's kind of the way it's going, is maybe that it may become all kind of PC gaming at some point, more like that.
Well, frankly, it really already is. If you look at the modern architecture, like the way that the new consoles are designed, this generation in particular, they're much, much more like PCs than ever before, which is why we're actually seeing a lot better PC ports now coming from console, because the architecture is so similar.
And I guess the way he put it is, he's like, he plays Xbox games on his PC. I don't know exactly how he does it. We'd have to have him on the show and discuss it. But he uses his Xbox controller and he uses a gaming PC.
Sure. I mean, well, ostensibly, I mean, unless he's saying he literally runs, you know, the Xbox One discs on his PC.
No.
Anybody can do that. I can do that. I don't have an Xbox controller. I just bought a cheap Logitech one, but it works with every game. I just have to change a little DX input file, and everything works, even for games that aren't pre-configured for certain controllers.
Yeah. So I mean, and the way we see it, Nintendo is its own thing. I mean, that really, they have their own games. It's its own console. They have their own problems. And at the same time, I don't really see a big difference, other than, like I said, Bloodborne or you know, the Second Son or whatever. All these exclusives. We talked about this. I know there's some that are, people love Bloodborne and they love Last of Us and stuff like that. But for me, at least, you can get Mortal Kombat on both. You can get Diablo on both. You can, if anything, it's just frustrating that if you're playing Grand Theft Auto online, you can't play with your friends from PlayStation, you know, on PlayStation.
Crossplay is a complicated thing to do, and I kind of get it. I think a big part of that is anything that comes to console, you can't really have crossplay. It's not fair. And that kind of brings up another reason that I favor PC over consoles is, for most games, like first-person shooters, you just straight up have a superior form of input. Like, I'm pointing and clicking. You have to
and
make
a lot of
thumbstick
people
stick aim.
Yeah, so talk about that a little bit. I mean, it's that seems like the biggest selling point when people tell me about PCs, is they're like, I can't believe you sit there and like have to figure out with your thumbs where to aim. And that maybe it just feels natural to me.
Well, here's the thing. Well, first of all, it doesn't feel natural to you. You've just tricked yourself into thinking that that's how it should feel. There's a big difference.
Yeah,
being used
to
it and having it be natural are very different.
But yeah.
I'll give you that. But if you put a controller in a five-year-old's hands, they're not going to know what they're
doing. Yeah, I suppose. It's kind of like the keyboard, I guess.
Right.
Yeah.
That said, you could put a mouse in a five-year-old's hand and they get it. Because you're pointing and it follows your arm movement. And, you know, it's just better. And it's not just that. It's that, like, right now, I just, for the first time, I finally booted up. I wanted to get into the Dark Souls, you know, stuff.
Sure.
I really wanted Bloodborne, but it's not coming to PC, I don't think. So I just broke down and got Dark Souls 2. And I'm not playing Dark Souls with a keyboard and mouse. Heck no. But I don't have to. And I don't have
to
buy a whole different console or buy a PC to do so.
Yeah.
Nor do I have to buy the game again. Which is really nice.
But if you're playing a Call of Duty or Titanfall or something like that, you literally, I'm assuming you use one hand to move the character and then you point and click.
Yeah, WASD to strafe and move forward and back, and then you aim and look with the mouse.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think this is, and maybe, like I said, maybe I'll just give in. It might be, honestly, I think I bought an Xbox One because I had a 360 and I had a gamer tag and I got used to it. You know what I mean?
I was saying before, though, that's not unexpected. I think that contributed to a lot of the early sales of the PS3 as well. And God, we know how bad the PS3's launch library was. So that said, I think that's not unreasonable. That's consumer trust. You know, if I buy Tide brand laundry detergent every year and they come out with a new one and discontinue the old one, I'm just going to buy the new Tide.
Sure.
I'm not going to choose a different brand.
Sure. So moving on, obviously, because for people I think have kind of chosen sides, although I think some people are interested, especially because as you said, as the technology evolves, it's looking more and more like everything's kind of a PC at the end of the day.
Well, and everything is, exactly, because that's the other thing is, it, really quick, just, you know, I don't own a television and I don't have to.
Yeah.
And that's because I have my gaming PC with multiple monitors set up on it, which is another advantage. And between Netflix, Hulu Plus, HBO Now, I don't miss out on, you know, network television of any kind. And all those things that started on PC have now moved to consoles anyways. So, yeah, I would agree. They are becoming more and more like PCs, especially with the new, like, picture-in-picture stuff.
Yeah. And that's kind of funny is that, you know, I have, we talked about this off air, but I have traditional cable just because of sports. And at the same time, I do the same thing. I have two monitors, and I have one. I'll be, you know, like, let's say the Twins are down 7-3, you know, and the game looks out of reach, I might throw on a game real quick and then kind of just listen to the, you know, the analysis sure. later on. Especially if it's kind of a mindless game where I can pause it. And
right.
I'm using it the same way as a PC. It's just I'm using cable because of sports, and I'm using an Xbox because I had an Xbox 360.
And I, to be clear, for someone who enjoys sports, my understanding, I'm not a huge sports fan myself, but my understanding is that the Xbox One is the console to get because of some of the NFL packages and similar
yeah.
stuff.
Yeah. Now, I guess PlayStation has the only baseball game, which is crazy. But, going to kind of the games and the you wrote down here, you know, much more competitive pricing, digital distribution. Max took forever. I don't know if I'll admit it on the podcast, but he was, like, buying the hard disks until, like, literally one day I was like, dude, I don't know why you have to like go pick up a disc,
right,
you
right.
know, put it in, let alone one gets scratched or someone takes it or, you know, whatever can happen to a disc. You know, at the end of the day, at the end of 360, I was buying, and especially with the games with gold and stuff like that, or you could buy $5 games.
Right.
I was just downloading them digitally. And I think that's kind of the way to go. I mean, a lot of PC gamers have said that for a long time.
Now, here's the thing. The reason that I download digitally, the biggest reason is pricing, which is nice. And also, it's the fact that it's portable. I can transfer it between different computers.
Sure.
So, and Steam, which, you know, everybody's using for yeah. PC gaming, has cloud saving. So all of my save data gets transferred to. I can literally pick up on a different computer like nothing happened.
Yeah.
Which is great. That said, I absolutely understand where Max is coming from. Because when you buy something digitally, you are not actually owning anything. You are renting a license to download the game and to play
yeah.
it, but you do not own that game. And that there's some serious legal issues that are going to surface. You know, someday Steam is not going to be around forever. Someday Steam's going to go out of business. I probably have 260 Steam games that are just going to be gone.
Yeah. I mean, having said that, I suppose I play old N64 games and I should consider that more. I don't know how many games like from the GameCube era I go back and play. You
well,
know what
and
I mean?
That's fair. And in this day and age, we have things like the Virtual Console and similar. You know, you talked about Xbox Gold. They re-release a lot of classics on those.
Yeah.
But, I mean, right now, I think this week, they just re-released TIE Fighter, the old PC Star Wars game.
Yeah.
And that game has not worked properly for 10 years. You know, so you tell me.
Yeah.
It's digital distribution has its ups and its downs, but overall I think it's worthwhile for someone, at least someone in my position who has multiple machines they're switching between.
Yeah, and Max uses, I shouldn't say, you're not, I guess, technically the first person, sorry.
Right.
Max does use PC, it's just he splits between PC and
sure.
Xbox and stuff like that.
Well, and actually one last thing is, I think a big part of wanting physical copies, and this is something that I actually envy a lot of people on, is I have no bookshelf full of video games to point out to my friends coming by.
Yeah.
I can't lend anything to anyone.
True.
And so there are definite benefits to buying physical copies. For me, the biggest reason, I don't have a car. So
yeah.
I don't have to leave my house to download the new, you know, Wolfenstein expansion.
Yeah, and to be fair, I have a car and still don't want to leave my house.
Right, there you
know? Yes. So, no, I think that's true. And you feel like you get better prices on the in the PC with the
oh,
Steam and stuff?
God, unbelievably so. Yeah, for those of you who didn't catch the last podcast, I participated in the last Square Enix Humble Bundle. And I got about $250 in games for $15, including Deus Ex Human Revolution Director's Cut, the new Tomb Raider. I got Thief. I got the Just Cause 2. Or sorry, I said that last time. And I'm sorry. It did not have Just Cause 2. What it has is, oh, come on, brain. It has...
Either way, you gotta
I got $250 in games for $15.
Yeah, and I know now. Granted, you got that recently, right? So it was like,
well, yes, but they've been doing Humble Bundles for at least 4 years.
Yeah, I mean, we did something similar, and this kind of transitions. Like I said, if you have other points, you can get to them. But I was going to transition to what games you play and what games you're into.
Yeah, no problem.
You know, Max and I kind of had this discussion right when I got the Xbox One, and I got it early. I didn't get it day one. Max actually got his day one. You know, he's like, don't shut off your 360. There's still some great last-gen games.
Yeah, absolutely.
I feel like we kind of went on a buying spree, and I got a decent amount, and I still have gotten some. For some reason, I didn't play Fallout, and I fell in love with Fallout 3, a $10
game. Oh,
God,
you poor man.
I know.
Well, I mean, I'm happy for you. Now you've seen the light. Have you checked out New Vegas yet?
Yeah, and so I'm playing New Vegas right now.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's cool. It's very different. I love the setting of Fallout 3.
Sure, I can buy that. And plus, Fallout 3 feels, I'm guessing this is your first Fallout game.
Yeah.
Yeah, so Fallout 3 feels like it's an original thing. And let's be honest, when Obsidian takes a property and makes one of their branches like New Vegas is,
yeah,
they aren't super original per se.
Yeah.
Sorry.
I don't know what that is.
That's the war horn. I got a work email.
No, I mean, I think with Fallout, I mean, I played all the DLC and stuff like that. I loved feeling immersed in kind of a weird, obviously, if a nuclear bomb goes off, what happens, you know, like kind of meeting the characters. I'll get into this, and I think I've said this on this podcast 100 times. My favorite are kind of story-driven or at least narrative-driven games. And that's a little bit kind of create your own story and make of it what you will. You're just going to meet a whole bunch of different people.
Fallout is very much so that.
Yeah. I'm interested in New Vegas. I've been playing it. Part of it is my 360 is kind of dying, and part of it, which as a PC gamer, you can, poor you, you bought a console.
Yeah, that must be rough.
But, I'm just going to steal your parts. You're not going to PC. But, no, I mean, the other part of it is just like, that's the only game I'm playing on 360 right now. I've kind of played through what I want. But yeah, I mean, I'd say on one extreme end, you have BioShock Infinite, which tells a great story, but there's no like, you can interpret it differently, but it's no, yeah, there's no decision making or anything like that. You know, it's just at the end of the day, you follow along, you play that game, right?
Yes. Oh, God.
Yeah.
Yes. But what's more, there are multiple, it's a game that has proper multiple endings. It goes beyond even the nonsense Mass Effect 3 final branching stories, quote unquote.
Yeah.
It's not just a binary, arbitrary choice at the end of the game. It is. Based on decisions throughout the game, you have entirely different cutscenes at the end that will flash up in turn. Well, I shouldn't say cutscenes, still images with voiceover, but they discuss many, many decisions you made throughout the game instead of just saying, did you kill the last bad guy or did you spare him?
Yeah, yeah. So BioShock, if I had to have my top three, this is kind of weird. Deus Ex is probably my number one. I thought it was
Deus Ex?
The Human Revolution.
Have you played the first ones?
I have not played the first one. Okay. I watched someone play the first one, and it was kind of cool.
It's a great game. Highly recommend.
So did you play it? You played it from the beginning.
Yes. Like,
yeah, I just got into it with the Xbox One. That was the first one I played.
I think that's the first one that most people played, but the first one was revolutionary at its time. And so,
and that would be PS2 era, is that right?
Even, it's older than that.
Yeah, it looks like old graphics.
I would say that's PS1 era, maybe, but I don't really think in terms of console generations.
Yeah.
For obvious reasons.
No, I'm trying to think. I mean, I watched someone play through it a little bit just because obviously Game Informer had
the
cover. That
was a PC-only game, so I really don't know what console generation.
Yeah.
I would guess based on the graphics it was early 2000s, but I did not play it when it was brand new. So.
Okay. Yeah, and so I just liked, and I can only talk to that one, but cool setting. You never play a game in Detroit. And it's a likable character. I was kind of like,
is
I don't know why you brought him back.
Would you say that Jensen is a likable character, though?
I'm being generous with that.
Yeah, I think you are, because I would say he's more of a character you love to hate, but you just don't want him to die.
I think, if anything, I'm just kind of, I don't know. Likable was a strong word.
Sure.
I'm so-so. I really liked Elizabeth, right, from BioShock Infinite.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that,
there's a character for you. To me, Jensen is a blank slate to be projected upon.
Sure, I think that's right. And so
he's the Bella of the Deus Ex series.
Yeah. So, I mean, I just like that game in terms of cool, you know, even where the last thing takes place. And it kind of makes you think and create your own ending for yourself.
I'm curious, though, because it doesn't make you create your own ending for yourself. So I'd like to know, what do you think about the ending of that game? Do you feel that Human Revolution did a good job with its, its quote-unquote branching paths? For those who don't know, I won't spoil anything, but it does come down to a binary choice, extremely similar to Mass Effect 3.
Sure, and we need to talk about Mass Effect, because that's actually another game I really like. But not, and I agree that the ending was not great. But how should I put it? I think, as someone in the media, I found it interesting, because it's like, what do you tell people? You know what I mean? What do you tell people about what happened?
Sure, but as a gamer who says that story is the number one facet that he cares about, how do you feel about having your chain jerked for 24 hours plus of playthrough time, and then the whole time they've been telling you, your choices matter, this is important.
Sure.
That's a selling point of the game, and the real only choices that matter are, did you want more experience so you played through stealth, or did you want less so you played through violent?
No, and I think that's a good point. Let me put it this way. I think a game that let me make a comparison. What's sure. the Dishonored? The yeah. yeah.
God, so I think I about, love that game. Now there's a game with a good branching story. Sorry,
yeah. So yeah, let's make a comparison between those two because I think it'll illustrate my point. What that did well, and again, I don't really want to spoil it just in case there's someone out there that hasn't played it.
Sure.
But I felt like with that, aside from really good gameplay, a little more polished, Deus Ex is really dark in the sense that literally the and I said this before, the graphics are just dark. Like there's not a lot of like
it's a dim.
Texture.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, and I think some of it's intentional. Again, reading the Game Informer on the new one coming out,
yeah.
they said that it's intentionally dark and kind of gold, but you could have had some more texture. Like there, sure. there's something about... I've said this about Rockstar games, and I feel like this about Bethesda games as well. They just do like the little things very well.
Yes,
and it just,
I would agree. Yeah. It's polish is what it comes
polished,
down to.
Polished, yes.
Yeah.
And so Rockstar always releases the game like 3 years after
right,
they say
exactly.
they will.
It's the, what's the famous Blizzard line is, it's done when it's done.
Yeah, and that sounds about right. But with Dishonored, the twist is better than the ending, right? The ending you kind of know is going to come, don't you think?
No, not. I mean, how many times did you play through Dishonored out of curiosity?
Twice. So I played it.
So did you play through Chaotic
high and low.
Also Lawful?
Yeah.
Okay, so then you know how different the endings are.
Yeah, yeah, but I guess where I'm going with this, and it's a very satisfying low chaos ending. So if someone's played through it.
Yes. I played through High Chaos first.
That's what I did too.
And I was furious with the ending and immediately took it as a challenge to go back through the game.
Sure.
And get
No. I completely agree with that, but I guess I saw that coming. Again, I don't want to give it away, but just to hint at it, like I knew my actions were influencing the little girl.
Right.
I can't remember her name, but Emily, right? I think it's Emily.
I don't remember.
But I understood why she took the actions. I like kind of after the
yeah.
Corvo's actions.
Yeah, I think it was Emily.
Yeah. And so I guess I wasn't shocked by the ending. I wasn't happy with it, and I was like, I can't believe this is how this game ends. And then the funny thing about the high cast is even the little things, like they made Samuel the bartender, and of course Samuel is the great bartender, right?
Right, exactly.
And so I guess if that's what you're getting at, I guess I was really thrown for a loop with the twist. I was not thrown for a loop with the ending. I was like, okay, I think I screwed up because I killed too many people.
Were you thrown for a loop when you entered a level and realized there were rats swarming everywhere because you were being such a jerk earlier? And
yeah,
there were guards on every street corner and you couldn't get a lot of the passive quests and
yeah.
stuff like that.
No, I mean, I think they did that well, but again, they hint at it in the beginning of the game. They're like, if you kill a lot of people, there'll
be
a lot of guards.
I'll tell you what, I'd be pretty ticked off if they didn't hint at it.
Yeah, that's
the
true.
The whole game and got the bad ending, not knowing there were other options.
Yeah.
It's important they do that because, I mean, here's two of us and,
yeah.
you know, both of us played through this entire game two
yeah.
full times. That's
yes.
That's a big statement.
No. It's one of my top... I don't know if I put it in top three. I had, like, Red Dead was one of my top ones. I can't remember my top games from that. But, like, I love Bioshock Infinite.
Sure.
But, again, Bioshock...
Curious again, did you play the first Bioshock?
No. I mean, I played through it a little bit, and I just, like, I don't tend to play thriller games, so I
okay.
think at a certain point
deal
I kind of lost
it,
me.
Go back, play through the first Bioshock. If you like games with a good story, it blows the story of three. In my opinion... I think it blows the story of three out of the water.
Yeah, and Max has played it. I mean, we've talked about it a little bit. I might go back and play it. I don't know.
I think it has a better twist than three, and I think that's saying something.
Yeah, because I was...
Sorry, I should say Infinite.
Yeah, with Infinite, I guess the reason why I didn't play it at first is I thought it was a thriller, and Max like, no.
Oh,
there's...
No.
Yeah. And I think I need to make... I mean, I want to make that clear to people, because I think a lot of people... I played through Bioshock, and I was like, this is just not my kind of game. I didn't
yeah.
play Evil Within. I didn't
sure.
play, you know...
Wait, you did play through Bioshock? Oh, Infinite.
No, Infinite.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then would you agree, then, that the combat in that game was pretty weak?
Yeah. Max and I argue about this all the time. I feel like if it had been made by Rockstar or something, it might have been... It might be a 2K thing.
I don't know.
I'd...
Well, I'd be careful there, but I certainly wouldn't say that if Rockstar made it, because I don't think Rockstar is renowned for their gunplay. I think that it's more the world.
That's true. Or I'm trying to think of what... Or
a
even, like,
person
Ubisoft or something. I don't know.
Yeah, sure. I get the idea, though. Maybe
yeah.
it's a developer that had more experience with FPSs.
I said the same thing about... It wasn't Mafia 2 made by the same people? Or who is Mafia 2 made by?
Oh, God, I have no idea. I'd have to look it up.
Yeah, it's not a... Maybe that's an EA game. I don't know. But I don't know. I mean, the combat was fine. You know what I mean? It was enough to get through the game, and I was just always compelled by the story.
It was developed by 2K Czech.
Yeah, see,
so
and
it's similar, but not quite the same publisher.
Yeah, and I don't know. At least in my mind, like... And I don't mean to dog 2K. It's just,
I liked
something...
Mafia 2, to be clear, except the ending was abrupt.
Yeah, it was just kind of weird.
But
yeah.
I thought it had a great story.
I thought it was good.
I thoroughly enjoyed Mafia 2, actually.
And they sell you kind of on the environment. I mean, you feel like
you're Yeah. That's probably one of the best. I'd say outside of maybe L.A. Noire, that's probably the best set piece that makes me feel like, oh, I'm in, you know, this actual era.
Yeah, and I just kind of wonder. I just love Rockstar. And the Ubisoft I've liked until Unity. I didn't buy Unity and I was so mad at them.
Oh, you're so forgiving to have lasted that long.
You were not. So we'll get back. Let's quick sidebar on the. You played Assassin's Creed and you played until when?
I've played every Assassin's Creed game except for the portable ones and the.
Sure.
Which one was it? The Revolutionary War one, because I super didn't care.
Is that three?
I you tell me.
It might be Revolutions.
I've played one, two, Brotherhood. Revelations, Black Flag, and Rogue.
So you missed, and I need to play Rogue, but the only reason why I didn't play...
Which, for the record, is probably the best one since Brotherhood.
That's what I heard, and I guess, again, my 360's dying. Yeah. And this is where PC
Man,
person
that must
goes.
Be rough for you. Yeah.
PC person Jeez. Wags finger at me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No wagging, just snickering at your expense.
Yeah, so I... No, I will play Rogue at some point. I'm just waiting for the price point to drop. And again, PC person, wag finger.
I think it's already $40 on PC.
Yeah. So I think the way I see it is, 3 was interesting just because I think it was cool that you start as one character and you actually end up playing as a different one. You start as Haytham and you end up as his son.
Sure. Well, that's neat and all, but
it loses you afterwards. I mean, you're just confused. I felt confused at the end.
To be fair, I did play 3 for about 10 minutes. I saw his village get burned down, and that's about it.
If you play
early spoiler, by the way,
I'll tell you this: like, I think if you played 10 hours of it, you'd say, "Yeah, it's fine." If you spent $10
on it, here's the thing: I could play 10 hours of anything, and at that point. It's a logical fallacy. It's the sunk cost fallacy where
sure.
you're going, I've played this for 10 hours. It had better be a good game or I'm a loser for wasting 10 hours playing this game.
No, that's true. I mean, it was a promising intro and a bad ending.
Sure. Here's the thing about Assassin's Creed. They have not innovated since Brotherhood. They've taken features out. I will say I loved the ship combat in 4.
See, I loved that. I loved Black Flag.
I liked it because it's the best ship combat I've seen. I've tried 3 times now to play through that game and have not finished it because
you don't like the land or what?
It's just not compelling to do another get all this, go on top of the tower.
I mean, I get
enough of that in Far
I understand
Cry.
That.
For God's sakes, every Ubisoft game is tower exploration and then side quests.
Sure. So, and this is getting back to my original point, so this is good. We'll eventually get away from the sidebar, but.
Right.
I loved the ship combat, and they teased it in 3, and I was really excited for 4 because I was like, that's my favorite part of 3 was that you got in the ship. And I mean, as a kid, I liked pirates. I thought it was cool kind of bringing it back to that. I agree, too. It's a lot of kind of, if you want to call it fetch or collecting things, I don't know what you want to call it, but yeah, you do spend a lot of time finding shards and finding maps and finding songs.
Which I had, you know, I like the ship combat, and I like the atmosphere. My favorite thing in the whole game probably is the chanting, the shanties.
Oh, it's great, yeah.
But all that said, yeah, I really do not like, literally, pardon the pun, ferrying back and forth between
missions
again and again. I get very bored of it. And I dealt with some really bad glitches in Black Flag on PC as well. Yeah, there was a terrible one where one of the first like wide ocean assassination contracts you get, if your target got away from you, he would never come back. And I could not take another assassination mission until they patched the game a couple months later.
Yeah, and that's a Ubisoft problem.
Yep.
But I would say this. I mean, I don't know if I collected everything or any of that. I enjoyed kind of sailing the high seas. I liked the hunting missions. I love the shanties, stuff like that.
Yeah, sure.
I agree with you on that. I just think they tend to do those games well outside of these like patchy things. When the game works in terms of everything's patched, it feels like an assassination. It feels like a cannonball hit your ship. It feels kind of, I mean, no?
I'll give you that it feels like an assassination. I don't know if I'll give you that it feels like a cannonball hits your ship. I mean, I feel like it's very arcadey. I mean, let's be honest. It's not a realistic ship fight.
I mean, I suppose they just...
And on top of that, it's the assassination is the same as it's always been. It's literally the same system that we've had since Assassin's Creed 2.
Yeah. Yeah, and I don't know. I guess I'm trying to get back to the Mafia thing. The Mafia thing kind of felt clunky. Like, I don't know why to put
I think that's a little different. I think that was because we had usually 2K check, they're not a super funded developer, and as far as I know. I could be mistaken on that, but my understanding is they tend to, their games seem to be about that quality generally. So I expect mechanics like that kind of out of those. But at the same time, I think you're comparing apples and oranges. Third-person shooters have got to have the easiest control design in any game genre.
Yeah, it just, I always feel like I'm, I guess I never think about it. And
I wouldn't compare first to third person shooting.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I guess, I don't know. I felt like those games were polished, just incomplete. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Well, the vibe I got from Mafia 2 was that they either ran out of time or development money.
Yeah.
It's one of the two, you know.
Yeah.
Or 2K said, all right, that's enough. We're pushing this out the door. We need to start making money on it.
Far Cry 3, were you a fan of?
Oh, yeah. I played Far Cry 3. Loved it. I've been playing Far Cry since the original, actually, and that I did play at release, which I thoroughly enjoyed the series, although I do miss... I can't make my pun I used to make, which was that Far Cry 2 is a far cry from Far Cry 1. But,
Yeah, I don't know. I didn't play 1.
Everything since... Far Cry 1 is a sci-fi game about genetically engineered monsters breaking out of labs in like South America.
Okay.
It literally couldn't have less to do with what the future games were. But Far Cry 2 was such a success, and I loved Far Cry 2. That came out right when I first started college, and oh my god, I played so much of that I destroyed a laptop. But
did you get to the second island and stuff?
In Far Cry 3. I've beaten 2. Every Far Cry game completely. And there's not a second island, it's just you go south.
Oh, okay. Because
you're in the desert.
Because Max told me, and I was like, I've never done. I got frustrated with it because I kept on getting malaria, and then my gun would run out.
Sure,
like,
sure. No, yeah. I really enjoyed that game because I enjoyed that game for the opposite reason I usually enjoy games, because I'm a story man myself as well.
Yeah, yeah.
But the mechanics in that game were so good. They had guns that jammed. They had you had to put, you know, like if you have an open wound on your arm, you light a bunch of matches and cauterize it on the spot in a first person animation. You can repair cars. You drive in first person. You can hang glide. When you use a flamethrower, the wind direction determines
that's
how
kinda
the fire
cool.
spreads.
Yeah.
That kind of stuff. Oh my god, it was a sandbox. I love a sandbox game, and it was truly, it lived up to the name.
Better than 3 then, in your mind?
No.
Okay, because I was going to say, three...
I mean, I think that it's a similar thing to what we were discussing before with Fallout 3 versus New Vegas. It was so original, I'll give it a lot of credit, and it was a great game, but...
Yeah. Far Cry.
Thank you. Far Cry 3 is just... It's a much more polished product.
Yeah, so... Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Far Cry 3, in my mind, was what I kind of wanted from that game. I'll probably play 4. I just got mad at Unity, and I was like, I'm not buying Ubisoft games this year.
4, you're safe. Actually, I think Far Cry 4 might have been the only game they released last year that launched working.
Like, good. Yeah.
Literally. That's the only one. Go ahead.
What do you think of Blood Dragon?
Oh, God, I love
it. Yeah, why don't they make a full Blood Dragon?
That is
this
great.
This is why Max and I are on this.
No. I disagree, and I listened to that podcast, and I actually was shouting at my phone.
We couldn't hear you.
Yes,
I'm sorry.
Maybe I'll think a little harder next time. But here's the thing. Blood Dragon is the perfect standalone game.
Yeah.
And one of the biggest reasons for that is because it does not outstay its welcome, which is the biggest flaw, in my opinion, of Ubisoft games. You yourself were just evoking the opinion that, I'll never get to the second island in Far Cry 2 because I can't stand the malaria and dying all the time. Well, that's how I feel. Like, that's how I feel about...
Graphics and stuff in Blood Dragon?
No, not the graphics. I think the graphics are fine in Blood Dragon, because the idea was they priced it to release at $20.
Sure.
So
they're
not going to invest like a CG team to do the cutscenes and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I'm just happy they even had voice acting. That said,
it was so funny, though.
It's amazing. They did enough. Your Rock becomes a D20.
Yeah.
He says F tutorials and is forced to do a tutorial. Oh, it's great. All the 80s action movie references, but it's so campy. You don't want a Duke Nukem out of it.
Yeah,
okay?
And
you want it to do its thing, be funny, be succinct about it, and then be over.
Yeah, and I think you're right, but I suppose, now that I think about it, I just want it kind of again. I don't know why
it
is. I
hear you. And here's the thing, though. Can you tell me honestly, because I started feeling noticeable and memorable fatigue right around the time I unlocked the final weapon.
Yeah,
the game, it almost broke the game. It was so powerful. And I was just like,
I had
already captured all the bases. I'd already hunted everything else. Because the way I play those games is as a completionist. So I'm not getting to the end of the game until I've already put in. I think I actually got a good 20 hours out of Blood Dragon, and I think that's plenty.
Yeah, I think that game's meant for about, and you're right, maybe a little bit longer. I felt like at the end it just kind of came unspooled a little bit, but I kind of expected
I think that was kind of part of the charm. Yeah. I think that was part of it evoking an action movie, was that it all gets wrapped up in a nice bow way too quickly and way too simply at the end.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't make sense.
It's not a good story. It's just a, I thought it was
wonderful story. Here's the thing. You have to be able to appreciate brilliant parody. This is not supposed to be a good action movie. This is a parody of action movies.
No, and it did that well. Right.
It's like saying RoboCop, I can't take it seriously. Well, it's a parody of violent action.
No, you're completely right. How should I put it? It's not a story that compels you to play 200 hours like Dragon Age.
And it's certainly not one that goes, oh, I need another playthrough.
Yeah, no, exactly. I don't know. I just thought it was a brilliant little
thing.
Here's
what was so brilliant about it stopping when it did. Unlike you, I played Blood Dragon before I played Far Cry 3.
That's funny.
And I loved Blood Dragon so much, I said, I want more, but not the same.
Yeah.
And I bought Far Cry 3.
Yeah.
That's what got me to play Far Cry 3 was playing Blood Dragon, which was the point of it.
And I think Far Cry 3, I think I played that all the way through. Like, almost got every, I maybe didn't get all the relics, but I got near, like, 100 maybe.
I mean, that's a game that's fun. I mean, I still have Far Cry 3 installed just so I can run out in my wingsuit.
Yeah. No. And it was a good, I thought it was a good story.
Spoilers, you get a wingsuit.
Yeah.
It's been 2 years. Deal with it.
But no, the hunting was great. They did everything very well in that. And it's unfortunate. It feels like Ubisoft kind of peaked. And I know it's not the exact same time, but kind of with now, I guess if Rogue's good, I'll take back. But what I'm saying here, but Black Flag was great. And then Unity kind of dropped. And I just kind of got mad that, like, Ubisoft kind of, it was almost like I just picked those up blindly. I didn't even look at a review. I was just like, I'll go get this game. And luckily, I looked at the review for Unity.
Right. I hear what you're saying. I don't know. I think that in my opinion, though I'm a little bit of a harsh critic, I think Ubisoft has been kind of just, let's see, we're on the radio. I think they've just been messing around for quite a few years.
So you thought it was about to come, like it was kind
of
due.
Oh, God. I've been sitting with the rest of my PC gaming friends who can actually choose what games we want to play instead of having to just wait for the seminal releases. And we've been tired of Assassin's Creed since 2, you know, since Brotherhood. We've been tired of these.
Yeah.
I haven't played a Call of Duty game since 4.
I'm with you. I haven't played.
And what's the difference between Assassin's Creed and Call of Duty?
No. And Max brings this up, and I think that's very fair. I think I missed an Assassin's Creed. I don't know if I played. I think I know what happened.
Did
in
you
Revelations.
Play the first one? Because yeah. That's okay.
It was cool. It's just like some of those missions took forever. And
it
then
was
I thought
kind of
too,
garbage, let's be honest. Like, it was a great idea.
That's exactly. In my mind, and maybe it's not a fair comparison, it's Far Cry 2 to Far Cry 3 is kind of 1 to 2 in my mind. I thought 2 did a good job with what it, like, polished up 1. 1 kind of took forever, but I was like, I like what this is about.
Yeah.
2 was a fun
2
game.
2 was vastly superior.
Yeah.
That said, I would argue that Far Cry didn't hit its stride till 3. I think 2 was still teething.
No, that's what I was saying. I was saying the comparison between 2 and 3 is kind of...
Yes.
Sorry. And so...
So many numbers.
Yeah, no. Not to get too technical or whatever, we're going to lose people. But I think we've talked Ubisoft. I think we're both on the same page there. At least I've said our part.
Sure.
What about Rockstar? Like your Red Deads, your Grand Theft Autos, your...
I think I've played every Rockstar game except for Bully.
Really? I haven't played Bully. I don't know much about that one. But
I love Rockstar. I'm playing through GTA 5 right now.
Really? Are you bummed about that one? That's the one weird one where they released really late for PC.
Oh, God, no. Do you know why they released so late?
Because of the mods, I assume, or no?
Oh, no. Actually, the mods are, I think people, well, I talk about it in the other podcast, but they're not actually coming out and officially supporting mods. So I think
no, you're right. You're right.
Misconception about their modding. No.
I just was taking a guess, to be honest.
They added some 2,000 to 4,000 first-person animations to the game. There's full first-person mode. You can play the entire game in first-person.
But you can do that in Xbox One.
They added thousands of new animations for PC.
Interesting.
Plus better graphics, plus... It's got more advanced netcode, I'm guessing, just because of your multiple computers and different operating systems and all of that. And they added so much content. Plus, we didn't have to wait for the heists update. It just came when we got it. I mean, there was a lot. We got the finished product with all of its patches pretty much already done, working. And I wasn't really sweating it. While everybody else was freaking out and buying GTA 5, I was just fine playing our current lineup of PC games, waiting.
I'll say about this, and you may know this because I've said this on the podcast before, but I was like, I'm fine with what, I actually got it on 360 and Xbox One, but what they didn't do is they didn't nickel and dime you. You got, free stuff for the online. The online's my favorite part. I thought the one player was a cool story, and it was...
I don't actually really play online, so...
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I play
every GTA for the story, actually. I think San Andreas probably was the peak.
Yeah, it's better than 4. 4, I felt, was kind of...
4 was garbage. 4 was a tragic misstep for the GTA series.
What it did do, though, I felt like you had more long-form games after that. Like, they kind of... Maybe it's the console thing. Maybe, again, you had them on PCs, but I can't think of an Xbox...
What do you mean by long-form? I mean, we've had long games since the Super Nintendo. There's 300-hour RPGs.
No, but I feel like it dipped. Like, all of a sudden, you had Super Nintendo, and then maybe it's just a console thing. Like, N64 had long games. I can't think of, like...
I think that what you're kind of talking about is a physical memory limitation, which is an issue that consoles have had. I mean, there's famous stuff, like a lot of people, when they're trying to translate ROMs and stuff from Japanese, they run into these just ridiculous old issues, like the number of characters that can be displayed on screen at a time. You know, trying to translate to English and you want to type out Jeff, but in Japanese it's one character and you have three spaces to fill.
Yeah, so I don't know. Maybe it's a console thing. Maybe for console players, it was just like, you can play. It's compelling enough to play a game that long. And I didn't think 4 was great. I liked the setting. I thought New York was cool or whatever. But I felt like 5 had a pretty cool story. It was nice to bounce between three characters, stuff like that.
Yes, definitely. It really mixed things up. And on top of that, it wasn't so... Gosh dang. I don't know how, but they managed to have a game that actually stars a true psychopath come off as less dark. Oh my god, so dreary. Oh god, 4 was just depressing to play. It was not fun. I beat that game twice trying to like it, and I just couldn't do it.
Yeah, it was. I felt like that was more about being able to do whatever you want in New York.
Oh yeah, yeah. I really want to hang out with my cousin Roman and to go bowling every
That's
hour.
That's true. And throw darts.
Yeah, and to have my in-game abilities, like when I'm running from the cops, affected by if I played darts at the bar this week with Roman. No, thank you.
No, 3 did that well, and it's a better story. I mean 5. Sorry, I meant 5.
Sure.
I like the online play just because it's kind of the sandbox elements in a competitive way. Like, you get to focus. I mean, it's cool that a map is that well made where you can just take a little chunk of it and it feels like a good place to race an airplane or to shoot people or to race a car.
To be clear, I don't dislike the multiplayer. I dislike multiplayer in general. Like, I'm just more of a single-player gamer. I do play multiplayer, and GTA 5 would probably be one of the games that I would go about playing. But usually I've got my dock at all filled with, single-player games to finish the story.
Yeah. And I think in college I played more multiplayer because there's more people around.
Well, and that's the other thing. And this, I wish we had touched on this when we talked about PC and console gaming. Yeah. I'm just going to mention this
Throw it out there.
Which is, one thing that consoles will always have over the PC is the accessibility in a room.
Yeah.
Local co-op, couch co-op is dying, and I think it's so sad. There's nothing, I don't think I've ever had more fun gaming than screaming at my friends while playing a fighter.
Yeah, Smash Bros. Or Mortal or something
like
that. Yeah,
there's nothing quite like being able to unplug your buddy's controller or something similar.
Yeah, that's true. So, no, I mean, that is an interesting point. But like I said, I think, I think I talked about this with Ben a little bit. It's just, I think as, as I got away from college, I still play some online, but I guess I spend more of my time playing, and we can talk about these games, The Witcher, Mass Effect, stuff like that, where it's single player and it's more just kind of, it's almost like a book, except you get to immerse yourself in it because it's graphic.
Yeah, no, I hear you. I mean, like I said before, where we talked about this off air a little bit, but my two loves are gaming and reading, so I totally get it. And I'm a story man as well.
Yeah.
That said, what, you didn't like the Mass Effect 3 multiplayer?
I don't think I played it. Yeah.
You so, and everybody else.
Yeah, so I think Rockstar, and then I thought Max Payne was fine. It's enough to play through. I don't know if I would have spent $60 on it.
What are you referring to when you say Max Payne?
Max Payne 3.
Okay, so yeah, I would say 3. 3 was overrated and overproduced. It wasn't what I wanted in a Max Payne game. Did you play the first two?
I played the first one.
Okay, so you know what they should be roughly.
Yeah.
But 2 is probably the best. That's the one I would most recommend to people. But Yeah, it got real weird. They went like a weird like drug kind of vibe, drug and alcohol and addiction theme instead.
It's very
of,
rich
like,
people with a lot of money and drugs.
And previously it was almost like a noir thing, so I don't know what exactly.
Yeah, so I feel like that's maybe a misstep, but I think they did. Are you a fan of Red Dead?
Oh, yeah. I loved Red Dead. Although, that said, I have a massive grudge because it's the only, as far as I know, off the top of my head, it's the only Rockstar game that has never come to PC.
Okay. That so is where did you play it?
I've had multiple roommates who have had Xboxes and similar things. I've probably spent almost $400 on console games in the last 5 years because I just buy them to play at my friends' houses and then I just let them keep it when I finish it.
Yeah. So, I don't know. I think that's a... I really enjoyed that game, and again, I don't think I played the multiplayer. Now, Max claims it was all right, but...
I don't even care.
Yeah.
This is a game... You are not playing a cowboy game to shoot other people. You're playing a cowboy game to roleplay as a cowboy.
And it just was so well told. I feel like it was three different stories, and I literally I literally never wanted it to end. I was kind of bummed when it...
Yep. In fact, I was so excited... Minor spoilers. I was so excited when I realized Mexico was an entirely new landmass.
Yeah. Yeah.
The equivalent of your second island.
Yeah. So I don't know. I thought it was, I thought that one was well done. In terms of, are you a Dragon Age guy at all?
Yep. I've beaten all of them except for, I should say, I loved the first one. I absolutely loved Origins Awakening.
Okay.
I sort of enjoyed 2, though I did not finish it. And Inquisition, I made it about 15 minutes in.
You're not a fan?
I like Dragon Age, not Mass Effect.
So talk me through this, because Max has talked about this a little bit. I liked Mass Effect. I thought it, or not Mass Effect, sorry. Dragon Age 1. I felt
so
like
good.
I played it late, and I just think I was, in terms of graphics, and again, I don't think you know, like, you're a PC gamer, but for a 360 game, it felt a little, like, behind. Like, it just did not, the graphics were not that great.
Sure. Well, it was ported to PC. That was originally a PC game.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. I hear you. I'm not the person to I'm not the advocate for graphics in games, actually. I do appreciate the ability to run stuff at higher resolution on my PC, but I absolutely go by the adage the graphics don't make the game, so that kind of stuff doesn't really bother me.
And like I said, I liked the storyline. The DLCs were fun. I thought
gameplay was excellent. The ability to like throw down oil and then have your other enemy light it on fire, and now you have fire on the battlefield and stuff like that was great.
And I assume that's the direction you're going in. So 2, I felt like the graphics were cool. Like, I was like, okay, that's what this is supposed to look like.
Sure.
Like an elf or a canary or something.
Sure.
And
although the canary, I don't know, because they completely redesigned the race for 2 for some reason.
That's true. I thought the gameplay was fine. I didn't really love Hawk. You loved the gameplay.
No. The gameplay, I wouldn't even say fine. I would say unplayably bad. The combat was abysmal. It was some of the worst combat I've ever played.
Because
in
it wasn't
RPG.
Like, how should I describe that? Like, in the first game, I'm trying to think of how I'd describe this for someone who didn't play it, but
I mean,
it's a slower pace. It's like a chess match.
It went from a strategic RPG to an action RPG.
Yeah, and that was very dramatic in the other one. Like I said, it didn't bother me as much, but I think you're more like, you loved that first, how that first game played.
Well, I did, because it's reminiscent of tabletop games and similar things where you can like have status effects that are on the board, and it just felt like a more connected world as well. I thought the characters were more relatable in the first one.
Yes, absolutely.
Outside of, I did like the mage in 2, but besides that, you know.
Yeah. I didn't love the character, and I didn't really love Hawk.
Hawk was just, I mean, there's another case of, he's not a character, he's a pair of pants. Anybody can wear him.
Yeah, yeah. So I think with 3, they were trying to make a combination of the two, right? They were trying to get back to more strategy while also having some action.
Yeah, ostensibly. They were trying to make money, but yeah.
Yeah. I mean, and maybe the problem is it's catered to me, where I was like, you know what, I'm fine with this gameplay. I think of the strategy, but it's not forefront in my mind. In the end of the day, I want to make sure my guys have good armor.
Well,
and,
here was my
balance.
Issue. There was no strategy in Inquisition. I've played it multiple times. I've tried to start it, and it's a button masher. It's not a, you don't, have you ever used the strategic pause?
Yeah, and I don't use that very much. I'm trying to think of when I would.
You had to use that in the first one.
Yeah.
You had to.
It
was, you had to redo a certain battle multiple times to change up what you were equipping, what kind of armor you had. You know, it was more of a challenging, difficult game. The Inquisition is getting a lot of talk, but to me, all it is, the quests are terrible. All it really is an offline MMORPG.
Yeah.
It plays like fetch quests.
Yeah, there. I think there is some of that. Now, again, I'd say the characters are better. They got back to kind of. It's way better than 2.
To be fair, a lot of the characters from 2 are in it.
Yeah. Was Varric in the first one?
Yeah.
Okay. So, I mean, no. I mean, those guys, the best character, I thought Morgan was hilarious. Her and Alistair was kind of the funniest, like, dynamic because she just added, you know? Yeah.
They were, the thing, though, is they were wonderful. You cared about those characters a lot.
It got better in 3. I think they've done better with that.
I agree to disagree. I mean, like I said before, I haven't gotten too far into 3, so I won't say you're wrong. I'm just going to say I couldn't say.
Yeah.
My impression, I was not.
And I don't know why you couldn't. I guess maybe you can't make a game that does both. That's kind of a. I agree. It plays a little like Mass Effect. It plays like a traditional game, a traditional combat game.
And it's weighted poorly. And by that, I mean there is more content in the Hinterlands than the rest of that game combined.
Yes, that's right.
Stupid. To the point where multiple people have reported back to me, if you do all the quests in the Hinterlands, you're horrifyingly overleveled for the rest of the game because they didn't do a good job of balancing.
Yeah, no, I feel like you have to leave the Hinterlands to get, like, you'd have to leave at a certain point to get back in.
Sure, maybe in the story you'd have to leave at a certain point, but if you're just doing all the side quests there, I'm saying.
Yeah, I feel like you get up to level 8, though, and then you'd have to do something else to get to 12, and then, I don't know, maybe.
I have a friend who spent the first 25 hours of the game in the Hinterlands without leaving.
Interesting. And I might have done that, though. I feel like I didn't get high enough, though, to get through all of it, but. Again, I'm not sure.
There may be a couple quests. You know, I'm not 100% sure because of the way that the influence and all that work. I'm not exactly sure how the
But for you, you said, hey, this doesn't play like Dragon Age 1. I don't want to play it, right?
What I said was this doesn't play like any kind of RPG that I'd want to play. And that's a shame because action RPGs are probably one of my top three favorite genres of games out there. I was really sad because, like I said before, Origins and Awakening, I consider like masterpieces. I've bought them on Xbox and on PC, both of them.
Yeah, they were well done. You need it. We need to have Max in the room because Max can talk your language a little bit more. you're gonna lose me at a certain point, but I'll keep a mental note of that. We'll have to have a Dragon Age discussion later.
Sure.
Because there's, I think, something to be talked about with that. Mass Effect.
And to be clear, I am not the end all be all on Inquisition. Specifically, because I haven't. I've only played, you know, an hour or two.
No. But I think you speak to a certain crowd. Sure, you know what I mean? Sure. I think a certain crowd gets what you're saying. What do you think of Mass Effect? I know Max was. We agreed that we liked 2. 1 was a little unpolished, but it was fun. 3 felt a little bit like it was put together, like they didn't really think through an ending.
I would say that the Mass Effects are. Their chronological order is the order from worst to best. And I would say that, yeah, you're right. The story in 3 was garbage, but the gameplay was superior to 2. So
true.
It's a tough sell. I'd say overall 2 is probably more enjoyable, but I'd say 3 is probably a better game.
Yeah. And are you sold to get another one, or you feel like you kind of worn out of Mass Effect?
Oh, I'm done. I'm so mad at them. As far as I'm concerned, they killed that universe. Oh, this mysterious child god in 3 different colors of light. Yes.
Yeah, I don't know if I.
Screw you guys. It doesn't even, you're not even, they don't even hint at a lot of that stuff during the story. None of your decisions had any effect.
Did you get the impression, though, that they didn't have, like, this fully thought out when the guy dies and then they kind of just put him together for 2? I mean, like,
I don't get that impression because they knew they were going to make a trilogy. They've been saying since the first one, all of these are going to be an interconnected trilogy. The first game, before it even came out, they were hyping that decisions in it would affect all of the sequels.
Yeah.
This is a big thing. I mean, Dragon Age didn't have a problem having save transfers.
It did, although between console it did. Like, it screwed up.
That's a console issue, not a Dragon Age issue.
Finger wag. But
I don't have to wag the finger. You guys are wagging the fingers at yourselves. This is why everybody's going to have a PC in 10 years.
No, exactly. You might be right. I think, I don't know. I loved what Mass Effect, like, I loved the environment of it. Just as a Star Wars guy, I felt like it was cool, especially when Star Wars games kind of were dropping off. I feel like they got kind of like, I'm trying to think of the last Star Wars game I really liked, but.
Force Unleashed? The first one?
Yeah, I remember that one. I don't know if I played through the whole thing.
Trying to think. Did you play Knights of the Old Republic?
I think I played that.
You better have played Knights of the Old Republic 1 or 2, Mr. Loves Mass Effect. That is the BioWare RPG, space sci-fi RPG.
I think I played the first one.
Because Mass Effect is literally the developers that made these KOTOR games that were so successful.
But the last one I really liked was like Jedi Outcast, which goes back to like GameCube.
That's a good game. Did you ever have the little hack you could do to make it so the lightsaber always cut off limbs?
You could walk
around with your lightsaber out, and without even swinging it, if you would like move your torso around, you could like chop someone in half.
That's funny.
It was wonderful. Oh my god, that game is
so greatest. So that was the last. I think I played Knights of the Old Republic, but it didn't do the same thing for me that Jedi Outcast did.
Sure.
And Mass Effect, I guess I liked certain.
Battlefront?
No, I did not play Battlefront.
Yes.
I know. I think Max would probably say the same thing. Mass Effect, I liked certain characters in it. I almost enjoyed kind of... I liked the combat, like you said, as you got into 2 and 3.
Yeah.
I thought it was better. Some of my favorite moments are just in the ship, though, and just talking to people.
Totally.
You know what
and
I
that's, that's their, probably the game's strongest points is the characters. Look, like I said before, I think that they're all great. I don't think it's fair to say that the ending of 3 invalidates the entire series. I do think it's fair to say that I don't trust BioWare to write a good story anymore.
Which sucks.
Yeah, it does suck, but, you know, I'm sure they'll earn our trust back. They've written a lot of great stories. I think that the real issue there was either it got pushed out the door before they could really finish developing an ending, or they overpromised.
Yeah, and I feel like it's probably both, but I feel like it's the latter a little more than the former.
Is forgivable, but both are excuses.
Yeah. I don't know. And maybe my conclusion with that game is that the journey's a little bit better than the ending, right? I mean, it's a dumb ending, but I kind
of
enjoyed
the
characters.
I think that's true of all games. Yeah, absolutely. That's why they're not books, right?
We talked about Fallout. Oh, we didn't do Witcher, and you're a big Witcher guy?
As far as The Witcher 3 goes, you know, I wouldn't say that I'm the biggest fan of them, actually. I would say it's an upcoming game that I'm fairly excited for, but I actually am not a huge fan of The Witcher series. I'm hoping that 3 is going to be more accessible, because 1 and 2, I got probably 25 hours into 1, and that was because everyone and their mother was telling me how good it was. But they are so slow moving, and the combat is not as good as everybody makes it out to be. It's just woefully overcomplicated and requires way too much preparation, and it's not so much in the moment as I'd like.
Yeah, so I would say that first of all, I didn't play the first one, so
missing much.
Yeah. The second one, I found it interesting that you could take two paths and end up in the same place, and I felt like they were pretty different. Did you play both the Yorvith and the...
No, I only played through Roach. About half of Witcher 2.
Okay. It's kind of cool how it's, again, you kind of make your own ending. Like, you can have an epic fight at the end if you want. You can choose not to. You can, you know, this person survives that. You could kill off the king if you want.
That's
cool.
Yeah, and that's something that I've heard, too, about The Witcher 3, is that it's going to have even more of your decisions affect throughout the story. To be clear, the story is the thing that has me interested in The Witcher. It's the mechanics that drive me away.
So, and I don't know if this is a PC problem. When it came over to consoles, it did feel clunky. I didn't think the combat was great.
It feels clunky. I mean, it felt clunky to you probably because it's made for PC, so there's so many keys you can't map them efficiently onto a controller.
Yep.
That said, it feels totally clunky on PC too. Not just the number of buttons you're using, but the movement just does not feel super smooth.
Yeah, and I agree on that. I guess I kind of like the story. I guess you kind of make of it what you will, but it's not like Dragon Age where you really feel for the characters.
Right,
I feel like
you
kind of have to buy into that a little bit.
It feels like it was made by a Norwegian company, which it was. Or is it Norwegian? I think they're Norwegian.
Okay.
The CD Projekt Red are not Americans, and it shows in the story. And that's fine, but it feels – it's not as relatable.
Yeah, it's not – here's what I'll say is that even with Mass Effect –
it feels very Norwegian. It does. Tell me I'm wrong.
You may be making a good point there. I think here's the thing: Mass Effect, you get pretty attached to the characters. I feel like even if you don't love the storyline, again, because you like being in the ship,
They're relatable.
Yes.
You relate to Geralt.
Yeah. Anyone. But I guess I focus less on the character you are and the other ones around them. To me, it's more important who's around you. Dragon Age 1, like, again, it's the same thing. Like, you kind of like that. You kind of miss, like, Morgan and Alistair arguing and kind of the stupid banter between, you know, the two the characters when you're just walking around, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
There's none of that. Like, I can't even really tell you other than Triss and Geralt and, like, some of your main, like, they aren't great characters, but it is a cool. Maybe it's because you haven't played the ending. It's hard to explain, but it's cool how they kind of reach the conclusion and that you can take two paths there and they end up in the same place.
Sure, and I've played games that are like that before, so I can appreciate that. I just I'm really hoping that The Witcher 3 is a little bit more of a traditional action RPG. As long as I don't have to prepare six wards or whatever before I can even enter combat, I'll be more interested.
You said you're looking forward to that. Looking forward to Fallout 4. I mean, you're still
I wouldn't say that. I think to be clear, I'm looking forward to what may be Fallout 4. What I'm looking forward to is Bethesda's big announcement that they're going to be making soon.
And again, we say that's a company they've done it right.
Oh yeah.
Are you a bigger fan of New Vegas or 3? I don't remember what you said.
I said that I think I was more like 3 is more original. I was probably more impressed with 3, but I probably had more fun with New Vegas. New Vegas did what 3 needed to do, which was it had factions and it had more branching story.
And you think
and
I'll like
the
that?
Main quest was better, like just straight up better.
Yeah, because I felt like the story, even in that, I kind of knew. I mean,
the story. Let's be clear: the world is what makes 3.
Sure.
The story is garbage.
I mean, you just know what it is. I mean,
where's
I'm not
my dad?
And people need water. Yeah, I mean that's
do not care.
Yeah,
I mean to be fair, that was I think it was a bit of a reference to getting the water chip in the first Fallout, which was the first mission you're given.
Okay.
That said, yeah.
And so you like the faction system. I guess I haven't played it a ton, and it's better than...
Well, every single faction, depending on what factions you side with and don't, every single one has a unique post-credit role.
Okay.
So they'll tell you what happened to each faction in the aftermath of how you treated each of them, and they all have their own reputations and stuff, so you get different prices with different factions, and they have reputation. It's well done.
Yeah.
It makes more sense to me, because how is it that I can blow up Megaton and then go chat with the ghoulified woman who makes the Wasteland Survival Guide?
Yeah.
Like how Moira Brown, I think her name is.
Yeah.
How can I go hang out with Moira as though I didn't just nuke her?
No, that's true. It's totally about the people you meet and kind of the...
Why aren't there like Good Springs... was it Good Springs? Yeah. Or no, sorry, that's New Vegas. Why aren't there Megaton refugees hunting me for the rest of the game?
That's true. And it's more like you meet the tree people. Like, that's hilarious.
Which, to be fair, is also awesome.
Yeah.
And that is a reference and tie-in to the first two Fallout games.
Okay. So, beyond that, you said you're looking forward to Witcher 3, Arkham Knight.
Tentatively.
Okay. Yeah, I enjoy it. Matt, again, that's... Okay, so we need to talk about... not Mass Effect, but the other one, Dragon Age, and he knows way more about the Batman games. I enjoy him. I played Arkham Asylum, I think, almost all the way through, and I play him and enjoy him, I guess, as I enjoy the Batman movies. I wasn't like a huge comic guy or whatever, so I maybe don't appreciate the games as much.
Sure. Well, although to be fair, the games are... if you've watched all of the American movies, then that's really who the games are aimed at.
Yeah, that's true.
Like, and that includes the old ones, like the old Jack Nicholson Batman. And
yeah,
that kind of stuff.
And I haven't watched that as much. I love The Dark Knight and Dark Knight Rises.
That's fine and good, but you don't get introduced really to like characters like Poison Ivy, who are big characters in Arkham City.
Yeah, I think most Batman fans like it. Maybe some hardcore people don't like it. But
I don't know of anyone who dislikes this series.
Yeah.
Honestly, I would say this is one of the best new IPs. And we're seeing spin-off games of it, like Shadow of Mordor, which is literally its combat system, and then the stealth from Assassin's Creed.
Yeah, and I know, and again, I should play that one. I know a lot of people
it's
love
so
it.
Good.
Yeah,
I've
and
already
the Nemesis
three
system
times.
And stuff like that.
I've already installed it, beaten it, uninstalled it, forgotten about it, and then wanted to play it again three times.
I should pick that one up. I'm not a huge Lord of the Rings guy. I enjoy it, like I enjoy it, but casually. It's not like Star Wars to me. Where
this
I
isn't about
Star Wars.
Lord of the Rings. This is about cutting an orc's face up, and then next time he runs into you in the wild, going, "You gave me this scar."
That's cool.
That is dope.
Yeah, no, that's cool. You're Dead Island. You were excited for Dead Island 2, but it just got delayed.
Yeah, this week I'm so mad. I was trying to come up with because it's kind of it's. I'm doing this segment just for you because I don't really get excited about releases anymore.
Really?
I mean, I've learned my lesson, haven't you yet, Mr. Ubisoft?
No. And I think, Max and I talked about this. They have that system now where you can pre-download. And are you a Destiny guy?
I played an MMO before Destiny came out.
Yeah.
I didn't need to play Destiny.
No. The problem with Destiny is that I thought it was going to be better than... Are you a Borderlands guy?
Yeah, I liked Borderlands.
So Max and I were playing through that, and I enjoy Borderlands 2. I thought it was cool. It's kind of creative.
As well or the sequel?
The sequel. Sorry. Gotcha. Yeah. So, and Max and I could talk about it later, but, like, I think it's creative. I think it's a cool, idea, I guess, that you have all these different guns and that the characters are all unique. And
well, I love it. It's Diablo with guns, and I'm super in.
Yeah, and you're a big Diablo guy.
Oh, big time, yeah, definitely.
Do you like – see, I love Diablo. I kind of like playing with other people in that game, and I don't know what it is.
No, but I definitely recommend – the best way to play Diablo or really any action RPG in that vein is multiplayer. Though that said, I am a Diablo fan, but I want to be clear. I've converted from Diablo. I play Torchlight now. Torchlight is much better.
It's better? And is that only PC?
Nope. That was actually the first time I played Torchlight was on the Xbox Live Arcade.
Okay.
No, that is on PC and Xbox. I'm not sure if it's on PS3, but that is a wonderful top-down action RPG in the vein of Diablo 3 with wonderful graphics, can run on a potato, and it is just great gameplay. Oh, and it's much fairer because it never had to deal with the nonsense of a real money auction house.
Okay. Yeah, so maybe I'll look at Torchlight. I don't know. I do like Diablo, and I liked Borderlands 2. I don't know what it was. There was something about when I played the Destiny beta, I felt like it was kind of like a cool, almost like a multiplayer Borderlands.
I guess. I mean, I would say more that Borderlands is a local co-op MMORPG than that Destiny is. Too many people still have fresh wounds about Destiny for me to state my real opinion about it. But
here's what I'll say about it. It's the one game I bought and not had pre-downloaded and then played it. And Max and I kind of looked at each other and were like, what?
Yeah.
I mean, no real storyline. Like, kind of you do the same thing over and over again. People love it. People play that forever. But that's not a – and so, like you said, I guess maybe you don't get pumped for releases. I'm kind of excited when – a game I like or a game I feel like can be improved on is in the works, though.
It depends on the game. Like I said, I wouldn't be lying, you know, to say that I'm really excited for whatever the next Bethesda IP is or whatever their next sequel is because I trust them, because they have a track record. But most of these seminal releases have no track record whatsoever. Most of them, some of them have this year released, you know, games that don't work at launch. So I never pre-order, ever. I think special exception, I pre-ordered Wolfenstein, but that was just for access to the Doom 4 beta. So
I'm with you on that. I guess my stance is that when I hear something's in the work, Deus Ex, the new one, right? I'm excited about that because I'm glad there's another one coming out.
That shows your naivete, no offense, because the last time we heard a new Deus Ex is coming, we got The Fall, the mobile game.
I don't even know what that is.
It's a real thing. Look it up.
All right. So Just Cause, Mad Max, and then No Man's Sky. I mean, do you want to talk about Just Cause and Mad Max? I think people know what they are and kind of what it's about.
Sure. Just Cause, great. It's a lot of fun. You want a game where you can turn your brain off and have the Last of the Twins game playing in the background. That's the one to do. And as far as Mad Max, I think everyone is excited for that just because it's Mad Max.
Yeah. No Man's Sky, what's your opinion on that? You said we kind of don't know much about it, but it's supposed to be...
It looks pretty.
Yeah, it's supposed to be groundbreaking, right? Just kind of you can do what you want. And
I guess. I mean, I don't trust any of that. I'm just excited because it looks pretty, to be perfectly honest. I know nothing about it, and I've been overpromised before. I'm someone of the Molyneux school of hyping, which is to say Peter Molyneux, I think I'm pronouncing that correctly, the creator of the Fable franchise, and also, did he make Spore? I think he had something to do with Spore as well.
Yeah, I feel like we talked about this.
He is well known for being like the biggest overhyper who fails to deliver on his promise.
Max and I had a podcast about this.
Yeah, and so I've learned my lesson. I don't get excited about stuff that makes huge promises but shows me nothing.
Yeah. I think we touched on most of these. You said, you know, games, and again, last gen in quotations because for PCs that's not a big deal. I mean, it seems like you guys, like PC people just gradually kind of the graphics gradually get better and stuff. There's no big jump, right? I mean, there really isn't
anymore.
Well,
there are big jumps. It's just when they release the new models of graphics cards. But the thing is it's compulsory. You don't have to get a new graphics card upgrade. I mean, right now I'm running these 550 Ti's. I bought mine 5 years ago now, and I'm doing just fine with it. You know, it's not like I can't play. I'm playing Dark Souls 2 right now. I'm playing the brand new Wolfenstein expansion that came out this week at max settings. And those are pretty old cards. Like, those were $200 when I bought them. So that's pretty cheap for a graphics card as is.
So of games, kind of, again, for us console people who haven't seen the light yet, you know, we talked about Dishonored, BioShock. I'm assuming you're a Skyrim. I know Max loves Oblivion and Skyrim and stuff like that.
Oh, God, yes.
Now, what do you think of it from a story perspective? Because it's kind of make it, it's a sandbox, right? And it's kind of make your own story. I haven't gotten that far into Skyrim.
I mean, yes and no. It's more like we wrote 8 different stories. There's the main story that everyone gets to see, and then you can join whatever factions you want, and they all have their own full story quest lines. I mean, no, I would say the story is wonderful in those games. The world building is incredible.
Yeah.
I mean, for Christ's sake, you can literally open a book and read it in that game.
Yeah, yeah.
So, I mean, no, I would say I love everything about them. Those are probably my favorite games ever. I've spent more time modding, playing, and talking to people about those games than anything else, probably outside of like World of Warcraft.
Yeah. What other ones you listed here were StarCraft, League of Legends, Portal, World of Warcraft, all kind of different. StarCraft 2 would be kind of like
real-time strategy.
Yeah, real-time strategy, but like that's pretty universally known and played, right? I mean, I feel
yes. If I said name me an RTS, you'd either say StarCraft or Command and Conquer.
And how do you think of Blizzard compared to a Bethesda, compared to Rockstar, I'm probably crossing different companies, but
to be honest, I'd say the three of those companies are pretty similar. They're all huge national corporations that consistently produce a high quality polished product. And they also all famously make really dumb missteps, like our paid modding fiasco last week.
Yeah.
Or, you know, our horse armor back in the day.
Yeah. Yeah. League of Legends, we'll touch on because we'll get to the Cowherd comment real quick.
Even though, just to be clear, that he's talking about Heroes of the Storm.
Oh, okay. Is it similar?
They're both MOBAs.
Okay.
But, actually, they're very similar, but they are not the same.
Okay.
Competitors.
Yeah, and I don't know much about those. Again, Max probably will, and I don't know about Ben. Portal just kind of cool, messes with your mind, kind of how do you describe that one?
I mean, I love it. It's a first person puzzler. It's great. And it's good because I hate puzzle games and I love Portal.
Yeah. I'm not a huge puzzle game, but I'd agree with that.
And I wouldn't say that I liked it even for the puzzles. I played that game to listen to GLaDOS talk.
Yeah.
She's so funny. Like the story is hilarious in these games. And 2 was as good. I wouldn't say it was better, but it was, you know, up to par with the first one. I thought they were great. Plus, they got J. Jonah Jameson in the second one to voice the guy who plays J. Jonah Jameson in the Spider-Man movies.
Interesting. I've played 1. I haven't played 2. I thought the cake is a lie. The whole thing is kind of interesting.
Yeah, and best ending in video game history.
Portal Which is 1, hard to do.
The end song is so good. So good.
I'm trying to remember. I feel like I played Portal a long time ago, or maybe didn't reach the end.
It's called Still Alive, and GLaDOS sings to you
about
how she's not really dead, and there's lots of cake, and you can't have any. It's wonderful.
That's funny.
And for those who don't know, GLaDOS is actually voiced by a real Broadway singer.
Really?
Yeah.
World of Warcraft. Is this kind of different?
Played it for a long time.
Yeah. But it's kind of out of your range. I mean, you said you're not an online guy or whatever.
I mean, that's what I was kind of getting at before, is it's not that I'm not an online guy. It's that I prefer single player. But this is a massive major Blizzard IP. And let's remember, too, like I was talking before about how console generations don't really define how I think of games.
Sure.
I've been playing. I played World of Warcraft. That's a 10-year-old game.
Yeah.
I've been playing it since I was 15.
Yeah.
So... yeah, I mean, I'm a different person now than I was when World of Warcraft came out.
Hopefully, yeah.
So, you know, back then it was, oh my God, me and all my high school friends can play a video game together.
Yeah.
Now it's, oh God, they're trying to talk to me on Facebook again.
Yeah. I think we touched on this, but console, you have PS2.
All right, that's the last console I owned.
Yeah, and maybe we talked about this before, but the genesis is you just got sick of a console running out, like a juice, or you just...
When I was 14, I was old enough to build my own computer, so I just did and never looked back.
Yeah.
I mean, I wanted something that I could also watch TV on, you know, watch videos on that my family wasn't there for, and also that was right around when I built my first computer. It was roughly around the time that World of Warcraft came out, and I knew that our family, you know, Windows 2000 computer was not going to cut the mustard.
Yeah, sounds about right. Nintendo, what's your stance on that? Just, do you like the old games?
That's a big question.
Yeah, maybe that's – I think we have a Nintendo podcast. We might need to have a full staff Nintendo podcast.
I would say
– in brief, what's your
– I loved them as a child. I still go back for some of the – I've played every Zelda game.
Super Mario, like 64. You like Mario Kart?
I've beaten 64 more times than I can count. I'm not a huge fan of party games like Mario Kart. I think they're a little overrated. They're okay. Racing is It's not my style, not my thing. But then again, you know, not everybody's into real time strategy either.
Sure,
so.
Sure. I'm trying to think of Sega. What's your
Oh, yeah, the Sega Nomad. Probably my favorite console I've ever owned. It was a handheld version of the Sega Genesis. Not many people knew about it. It was huge. It was literally the size of a brick. And I remember we had to buy a sold separately battery pack that took 8 AA's and gave you about 2 hours of battery life. Because it was one of the first backlit screens, and it was literally a Sega Genesis. You take Sega Genesis games and plug them into this massive brick handheld, and you can play... You know, X-Men on this handheld. It was great. I loved that thing. Also, it had outputs, S-video output to the TV, so you could still play it on the TV.
Trying to think. Before we do, we'll wrap up with Colin Coward, but anything else I kind of missed here in all the notes we had and stuff like that? I mean, I feel like people have an idea who you are as a gamer.
Yeah,
if they don't, I think it's been an hour and a half, and they're not going to figure it out.
What more do you guys want from me?
Like I said, I mean, I think it's just we need group dynamics of... I think Ben and I just talk and we're just casual gamers and we just have like a lot to say. I think we need people who actually know when these release dates are and how these work and can tell me the difference between companies and stuff like that. And Max does that. I think it helps having two people. And the other thing too is it's important, I think, to have, I mean, in all seriousness, to have like a Dragon Age discussion because we come from different places. Max,
right.
Max is between you and I think we're very stark different on that.
Right.
And Max is somewhere in between.
I certainly don't want to get into it, but I think that if Gamergate has shown us anything, it's that there is a massively diverse audience for video games.
Which is good.
And you are just as much a gamer as I am, as someone who plays cell phone games is.
No, and I think that's the positive thing, is I think games are becoming more and more mainstream in the sense that just some people are kind of sick of movies unless it's Fast Six or The Avengers.
I don't know about you, but I remember a time in high school where nerd was a bad thing.
Yeah, and I think outside, and maybe Nintendo was kind of the first one where everyone played Smash, everyone played Mario Kart, everyone knew 64, like Super Mario 64. And I think Halo helped.
We're aging out a lot of the people from the pre. Nerds generation.
Well, it was a novelty, and now everyone kind of has a console or has a PC you can play games on.
Yeah, it's a Netflix box for a lot of people.
Yeah, and that's the thing, and it works both ways where some people use their Xbox more for a. You know, for Hulu, and some people actually use so I think this gets to the final point. Like I said, if I'm missing something, just shout it out. But Colin Cowherd basically came out and said that he would quit if he was forced to cover video games. Really kind of took jabs at like people who play games and the fact that, you know, ESPN was audacious enough to put you know, it wasn't League of Legends, but what was it?
That was Heroes of the Storm.
Heroes of the Storm.
The upcoming Blizzard MOBA, a competitor of League of Legends and Defense of the Ancients.
Okay, so yeah, they put it on ESPN. And my thing here is, first of all, there are people in sports, and obviously because I work in the business, I can say this.
Yeah, I wanted to hear your thoughts.
Yeah, so my thought process on this, and I think it's cool to have this just because obviously we're a sports station that hosts a video game podcast. Because again, how could you not talk about video games and movies and television shows? It'd be funny to think that, you know, someone only watches sports, but although that would be me. But but I think here's the thing. If you talk to someone who covers baseball, they said you could not pay me enough to cover hockey. And you might. The biggest difference is you have basketball and hockey fans, and you almost have very little crossover.
Well, and there's a big difference between saying you cannot pay me enough to cover hockey and saying if you ever ask me to cover hockey, I quit.
Yeah. But again, I think some basketball people would say people find it weird that I like the Wolves and the Wild and cover them both and kind of get into both of them.
But it's not how you feel. It's how you say it.
That's true. And I think this is a little bit, first of all, this guy's, you know, obviously has a big following and stuff. His job in some ways is just to kind of start a fire, right?
And I don't think it's his job per se, but I think him and a couple other ESPN commentators are really only around right now. They're really only identifying features. We're shock jocks.
Yeah.
We say things that make people respond angrily in the comment section, and it drives our listenings up.
Yeah, and he has a little bit of that. Again, he has some good content. I guess some of him is just kind of, again, get the commenters out, get people to get out their pitchforks and
torches.
Because
I understand gaming is not the only thing he has unpopular opinions.
No, he has some weird John Wall opinions, and he has some with a basketball player, and yeah, he has some weird, he says some crazy stuff. Again, he has a loyal fan base, so what do I know? But,
sure.
You know, I think, yeah, he said, you know, if I'm ever forced to cover guys playing video games, I will retire. Somebody lock the basement door at mom's house and don't let him out. Now that's a comment you get though with bloggers in the beginning, when people like me who started online, they go, well, you know, are you in your mother's basement or this?
Yeah,
and that.
But let's be honest. That's not, you guys didn't start that. That was, you inherited the gamer. That's a famous gamer line.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean,
so maybe
blogging does not predate gaming. So
no, that's very true. I just think that's a little bit not, It's like people who say, well, why do we have soccer on TV and why are we watching?
Let me put it this way. How would you feel if they referred to professional sports as kicking around in the sandbox?
Yeah.
Because this is, you're right. Some people do start out, you know, in their mom's basement playing games. I certainly did.
Yeah.
That said, if I'm a professional athlete, that's incredibly offensive.
And just very different.
These are guys who live in a house with their team and play for 16 hours a day and talk strategy when they're not playing. This is not just some laissez-faire, oh, I haven't moved out, and so this is what I'm doing in the meantime. This is an incredibly competitive sport. I don't have the exact stats in front of me, but League of Legends alone has over 9,000 full-time professional players, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, and so, I mean, the other thing, too, is keep in mind, ESPN has poker. And you know what I mean? And
the Olympics have officially declared chess a sport.
Yeah. And I think it may just be a misunderstanding too of what's going on here. People don't realize that you have a headset or a Kinect device because you want to discuss strategy in a game, or, you know what I mean? I think people think, you know, maybe to someone of Cowherd's generation or someone who's not into it thinks there's no difference between Donkey Kong and what's out there now.
Well, I would like to take issue with that even more, because Cowherd doesn't know his butt from his end. He he compared it, the quote you're referring to, he actually compared Donkey Kong to Harry Potter.
Yes, I tagged out at Harry Potter,
could
tolerated
not
Donkey
be
Kong.
Less real. What, he tagged out, he's too old for fantasy now? Is he too cool for Star Wars? Like, is he too cool for Game of Thrones? I mean, the most popular things in the world right now are nerdy. It's Game of Thrones. It's, so, like I said, Star Wars, it's Walking Dead, it's nerd stuff.
Yeah.
So for him to be so condescending like that, and to imply that, like, he's in the majority here and that he's, you know, he's a bully. He's bullying.
He's probably in the majority of his listeners and who, you know, listens to his. Again, when's the last time Colin Cowherd was printed on GameInformer.com or, you know what I mean, a website like that?
Well, I mean, sure, but this is the first time that he's had reason to be.
Yeah, no. But what I'm saying is, I don't think he speaks to a general audience. He speaks to a sport specific, and people kind of like him. I mean, sure. That, you know what I mean? And I think that that's, and this may be just kind of his branding of it. I don't know how ESPN handled this. I know they have suspended people in the past. I doubt he.
They couldn't do anything in this case. I don't know if you followed the tweets during the tournament, but there were rude tweets from most of the I was so disappointed. Most of the commenters had some snarky. I think there were two positive comments in the entire.
And what
Twitter
what
feed.
Was this running against? I'm trying to think of what was going on at the time, but I mean, I think it was.
It's ESPN2. Who cares?
And here's, at the end of the day, ESPN doesn't put this on unless there's an audience for it, right?
Well, and we know there's an audience. I talked about League of Legends before, but Dota 2, Defense of the Ancients 2, that's another MOBA. They've given out over $28 million in prizes. That's a three-year-old game.
And Max is talking. Again, we need to have you and Max on, because Max can speak to that more. But I know he speaks that up.
To be clear, viewership of pro gaming, specifically things like the Dota 2 International, which is coming up right now, easily defeats the vast majority of professional sports in terms of viewership and in terms of money that is paid per player.
Yeah.
Because you get a huge chunk of money when you're on a 5-man team and you just won $15 million. That's a lot of money. That's $3 million a piece.
Yeah.
For one tournament.
Yeah.
There's a lot of money. There's a lot of viewers. People watch these regardless. My question is this. Why has it got to be on ESPN? I don't know why. Well, I don't understand why Blizzard went to ESPN of all people. Why has it got to be even on network television? But if it must be on network television, why would you go to the audience that's going to be most resistant?
Yeah, I mean, I think, keep in mind, Cowherd doesn't speak for ESPN as a whole, right? Or no, all its viewership.
No, but if you take the temperature of ESPN at the time of the tournament, it's overwhelmingly negative. I don't know if you saw this. They got over 100,000 complaints, phone complaints.
Now, to be fair, that's also a business strategy that they realized a lot of people are paying attention to it, right, on a day that they wouldn't. The other thing I'll say is that, you know, I was talking to a guy on the Twins, and he's a Blackhawks fan. He goes, man, I can't even go on Twitter and root for the Blackhawks, even though, you know, they're like, well, you play for a Minnesota team, you should root for the Wild.
Right, right.
I said, keep in mind here that those are the craziest people out there who are on Twitter who are making a ruckus about this. Most people probably don't care as much as those people do.
You say that, but I feel like sportscasters in particular, they're speaking for their audience to some degree. That's why they get hired, is because they are saying things that the audience is thinking.
Sure, but I think Cowherd doesn't represent ESPN's audience. He represents a segment of it that likes Colin Cowherd.
No. I'll give you that.
Yeah.
However, he was not the only one to have a negative comment.
Yeah, and I remember seeing some people, and again, it may be a generational thing. Part of ESPN's thing is that it's kind of looks kind of like a lot of old people in their opinions. You know
right.
what I mean?
I think it's a pair of things. I think that you're right. I think it's a little bit generational. And I also think there is some level of feeling threatened there, too.
In terms of what? I mean, I'm not arguing.
I think
I'm just curious.
They want to know how much of ESPN's physical sports time is going to start getting taken over more and more by something that is completely alien to them.
But it's the same. I'd say it's the same thing with soccer. People go, I want to see more football. Why do they have soccer on? You know
what
I mean?
At least soccer is a physical sport, though.
Yeah.
I think if the World Series of Poker started pushing the NFL off of ESPN, people would flip.
Yeah, and again, it's funny that what did this – it's not like they didn't show a football game or they didn't show a baseball game because of this. They showed it, I think, at a time that, like – really, I don't know what else was going on for ESPN.
I think the real problem is, you know, I have a lot of friends and family that are big into sports. And I, unlike, I think, it sounds like, I'm guessing you, I do watch a lot of esports. I find it quite
interesting. Yeah, and I don't watch it a ton.
I think it's fascinating. Frankly, I think it's more interesting as a spectator sport than anything like baseball, for example. I'd much rather watch an esports game. Now, I am speaking from the position of someone who hasn't really played sports or watched sports extensively since high school. But that said, you know, it's very interesting. It's very engaging. And I think there's a lot of people, especially I have friends who are into baseball that are into sabermetrics and stuff like that.
Yeah.
There are
really,
really smart sports fans out there. And I think that it's just an intimidating.
But people don't like the sabermetrics people. They don't like, you know, people on Pro Football Focus or – I mean, that there is
– I think that you have just as big an audience as the gamers, and to try and – you know, fit all sports fans into one box is just as bad.
No, and I think at the end of the day, when it comes down to filming this stuff or whatnot, I've always kind of enjoyed watching people play games, even if it's just for the antics outside of it or just because, honestly, I just don't feel like playing the game and I want to see the storyline or something like that. But I think, and obviously with the Let's Play kind of movement, if you want to call it, on YouTube and stuff, people like watching it. This is a good thing, I think, for both parties in the sense that these television networks realize, hey, we can make money and find an audience that isn't watching TV and isn't paying for cable, who might if we have it.
Yeah.
And I think from video game standpoint, hey, look, these games still cost $60. Everything, production value is going up, right? And they're having trouble getting people to pay more than $60 for a game, even if they really should be. Hey, this is a way. If you can watch the game on TV, or you create a game you can watch on TV, it's a way for them to make money. So yeah. I think that you'll see more games on TV. I don't know if it'll be on ESPN. I don't know if it'll compete with sports. Having said that, ESPN has an audience that likes video games and sports.
That's
so
what
that
I'm
doesn't
saying.
Shock me.
That's what disappointed me so much about this response was I really think that if anyone is primed to enjoy these, it's sports fans. But I think that they are I don't want to speak for all sports fans. I will say I think that it's hard for them to come around to new stuff sometimes.
Yeah.
And that's all I'll say. I don't want to cast it.
No. Same thing with sabermetrics. Hey, baseball, keep that out of here. I mean, there's a lot of that. I mean, there's a lot going on. Again, you could probably do a whole podcast on this. And at the same time, I don't know how many people would listen to that. So it's interesting to hear it. Like I said, I mean, the way I see it, I mean, I do, obviously I do general sports when I'm on the air. And then I do high school hockey, which is very niche. I do fantasy football, which is a little more broad. And then obviously I do this. And some people who they'll be like, oh, what were you doing before you came to the game? You know, tonight I'm going to the Wild game. What were you doing before that? I was doing a video game podcast. People be like, what? Yeah. You know, why would you do that?
Exactly.
I think at the end of the day, people are just kind of different. You have different.
I mean, how many times have you shown someone a game on their phone and the next week they're a gamer? And
yeah.
Everyone is a gamer, or I should say, no one is not a gamer. People
yeah.
just don't realize that they like video games, or they don't
yeah.
consider what they play to be video games.
Yeah, the difference between Call of Duty.
This is a browser game.
Yeah.
I don't like video games. I just have put $500 into Candy Crush.
Yeah.
Well, you like video games. Sorry.
Yeah.
Everybody does.
No, and I think it's become more universal, and I think, I mean, at the end of the day, what I like about the podcast is, like I said, we're not breaking news here, and we're not we probably don't even have information that other people don't have. We use a lot of we use, you know, the stuff that's online or that we've played. But I think just the discussion of it's interesting. And I think for me, like I said, what it comes down to, why do I like the storyline, is I enjoy writing stories about players. In some ways, interactions in video games have become kind of simulated, obviously,
yeah,
conversations.
No, totally.
And there's something to be learned about if you think of it backwards. How did they create that in, you know, those dialogue trees and stuff?
Sure.
There's something to be learned about that.
Well, I think there's something to take from it, too. I still, to this day, will think of a dialogue tree from Knights of the Old Republic or for you for Mass Effect.
Yeah.
When I have somebody come and say something that annoys the crap out of me, I got to remind myself there's three other options before
That's very
I
true.
Go renegade and just punch them out.
Yeah. No. So I don't know. I think ESPN will continue to have, just because ESPN has, you know, at least Grantland and stuff like that, have reviews on TV and they have movie reviews. I think they're going to continue to have video games to be an aspect of it. I don't think
I'm sure they will, specifically because they are not, this is not altruism here. They don't care what sports fans want. They care about what has money. Like, this is a corporation we're talking about.
Yep.
There is a lot of money to be tapped there.
Yeah. Any final thoughts? Otherwise, I think we have a good introduction of you, and obviously we'll get more people in the studio and,
sure.
and hit these topics you know, later on.
One last thought for you guys about Colin. I don't think that he should be suspended. I don't think he should be fired. I don't hate this guy. I do think he owes people an apology, and I think that's all that anyone would want from him is, hey, I was annoyed, it was a busy day, I didn't really know what I was saying, or I didn't mean to offend, I just was playing the easy joke cards of picking on nerds.
Yeah.
But something would be appreciated.
Yeah, and
nerds,
I guess,
are just as tentative about being on ESPN as ESPN fans are about having nerds on
yeah.
their TVs.
And I think you're right. I think the only way that happens, though, is that they continue to show it. It continues to show a positive revenue
yep.
stream. And I think at the end of the day, what he's going to say, and it may not be him. I think it's just, you know, he may never say something, but I think the next generation of people, it'd just be like if someone said, well, oh, look at those people watch movies, you know what I mean, or read books.
Literally, exactly.
Yeah, and
yep.
so I don't know. I don't know what you're going to get out of him. Like I said, for here and why I do it is just, like I said, I mean, people are going to be at the Wild game tonight and be like, hey, why don't you live and breathe hockey, or, you know, this and that. Same like, why do you like the Timberwolves in the Wild? And I see it no different than when they're like, hey, you know, it's just something new, and I think it's something people are adjusting to. And like I said, video games are doing the right thing as long as they release well without needing 100 patches, and as long as you have good storylines, and as long as, you know, hey, you need your Call of Duties as well as your Gone Homes, right? So I
agree to disagree.
Yeah, no, you don't like Call of Duty at all?
Yeah, it's another can of worms.
Yeah, we'll maybe have a Call of Duty podcast. But yeah, we'll have a lot to discuss here. Obviously, I think these are the main four people. Obviously, if there's someone else in the studio who's into video games, we'll get them involved. But obviously, Ben, Max, when he's back from Japan, Henry, glad to have you on the show finally.
Thanks again for having me. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, so this has been 105 The Ticket's video game podcast from Cold Omaha. Thanks.